And George Stothard, as we are celebrating and commiserating language, the diversity of language, the loss of language, and the development of new languages, when you look at rap and street and some modern poetry, when you're looking at text speak and LOL and all of that kind of thing. And we're asking you this morning for your favourite word. And do let us know where that word comes from, or the meaning of the word, if it's something very new to us. And make sure you pop your names on your text messages. Some text messages here. The Zulu one's interesting, George.
Uku kudek angakenan.
Zulu for how far is it?
Yeah,
fantastic. What else have we got there? Scottish. We've got some Scottish words. I love this one. Crabbit, in a mood. So is that where crabby comes from?
I don't know.
When you're a bit crabby. That. You've heard of being crabby, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a Midlands boy.
I sit opposite you three times a week.
And Mardi is a good one. Nottingham, being a Nottingham girl by origin. Mardi.
I haven't heard that in years.
Yeah, when you're Mardi.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if that means when you're, well, moody, really.
Yeah, in a bad mood.
Bad mood.
Miserable, but it's also grumpy.
Yeah.
Grumpy.
It's not too extreme.
Pull yourself out of that grump.
You're Mardi. What else have we got in Scottish, weesht, which means be quiet. Weesht. Be quiet.
Okay. Nice.
Fandabidozy. I think this is a Scottish word, Liam. I don't know if that's actually in the dictionary, but fandabidozy.
I think it surely has to be in the Scottish dictionary, along with a lot of other nonsense.
Oh, George.
I'd let the cat out of the bag.
Well, you can say it because you are half Scottish.
I am half Scottish. So my mother, I can't understand half the things my mum actually says, to be honest. Or half the food she serves up.
Balabosa means love in Bengali. Thank you for that. Please put your names on your text messages. And kusa, Arabic food, from Jamil. Thank you so much. Loads coming in here. I love this. Preposterous is my favourite English word. It's such a mouthful, from Lorraine. Thank you for that, Lorraine. It's a great word.
It's a preposterous thing to do.
Yes. I like glad rags.
Glad rags. Get your glad rags
on.
Dress up to the nines.
Where does all this language come from? So let's have a look at the origins of language. So looking at the English language, it's one of the richest sources of wisdom and knowledge in the world, according to this article on the Power of Linguistics. But looking at the origins, because okay, maybe English is spoken all over the world, but we're actually an amalgamation. The language is developed from many different cultures.
I think if you look at the origins of language, the truth is that nobody really knows. You know, nobody can actually pinpoint when it all started. But if you look at, you know, I guess if you look at symbolism and signs, that's got to be the point of origin. I kind of ask myself, how did we get from the point of, if you like, animal vocalization with barks and howls and you know, simple calls, which is, you know, presumably how we started, right through to complex human language. You know, animals do make use of signs, also, you know, obviously depending on the animal. My cats don't, my little munchkins don't use signs that much, but apart from the occasional meow and a scratch. But, you know, if you look at monkeys and such, like, you know, there's a far more complex, I guess, vocabulary or dictionary of signs that they use. So, you know, what point do they represent? At what point did we stop doing that and then start to develop an actual language? You know, was it 4 or 5 million years ago, at the start of mankind, or was it more recently? You know, was it when the Neanderthal started? Did he start to speak? Did his brain develop larger than ours? Did his voice box seem to sort of, you know, get higher in the throat like that of apes? You know, the truth is we just don't know, and there are a whole load of theories. But I think, irrespective of the origins, I think the interesting thing about language is why it's so important. You know, sure, it's a way of communicating, and that's obvious, but why do people get so passionate about language? Why do people get so angry about language? You know, there's an interesting case in the Ukraine at the moment where, I mean, more than half of the population of the Ukraine speaks Russian. There is a crisis right now in their parliament. Over the past week, the Ukraine Speaker of their House of Parliament and the Deputy Speaker have both submitted their resignations because the parliament cannot agree on whether or not to allow Russian as having legal status as a spoken language in the country. And it's huge. It's passionate. It's all over the news. People are talking about
it. And it's just, you know, people's sense of identity. And it's interesting how much, as you said, that sort of passion and attachment we make to a language, because it is part of us. And somebody taking away that language is like taking away your identity. It is interesting. And when you look over history and you see with the English language, when you look at the idea of taking away your identity or taking away your land. So reading here, it's saying that many reasons of how the English language is amalgamated through different from different cultures is because they were the countries that tried to invade and did invade Britain. So you've got the Romans, you've got Franks, Norse, Germanic tribes. They all took their shots at dominance over the British Isles. And so along the way, the language, cultures, you know, were influenced the people. And that's been handed down and handed down. And then when you look at all the different influences, you start to see the kind of universal patterns playing around the world with invasions, trade, travel. So how language was passed around the globe. And then when you get to back to Britain again, the roots and keys to understanding every language in existence can be found by looking at the ancient empires that sought to subjugate them. And for this reason, Latin, Greek, Chinese, Persian, Arabic, and Sanskrit are the principal contributors to all thoughts in the world. And that's the thing about language. We speak it, we talk it, but it's actually the inner dialogue that you have with yourself.
I think it's spiritual as well. And if you look at Arabic now, Arabic gave the world not just Islam, but it also gave the world a language and an alphabet and even numbers. And I wonder how many British people sat over in the UK realize that the numbers they use are actually Arabic numbers. Probably not that many. And although Arabic might not be the national language in every country in the world, it has become the language of Islam. So wherever Islam has become established, you know, it's spoken in Arabic globally. So whether, you know, from China, Africa, most of Asia, right across Europe and in the Americas, you know, Arabic can be heard in the Shahada, in prayer, and the chanting of the Quran. So it's spiritual, it's internal. Even for those that don't speak Arabic, that language has an emotional, a spiritual meaning globally. So it transcends borders. I mean, English transcends borders in one respect because it's the business language of the world, and that's that. But Arabic is different in that respect. It has that, it carries that sort of deep spiritual meaning.
And so do many languages, and it's interesting, isn't it, how we, just by talking about it, we start to wake up. It's ingrained in us. We're not necessarily aware of the influence and where our language comes from. Wonderful messages coming in with your favourite words. One here saying, the longest English word is smiles. There's a mile between the S's. How lovely.
Love it.
4001, keep your messages coming in with your favourite words, where they're from, what they mean, and do put your names on your text messages.